Get Up with Christian Bodge. On the Mid-North Coast's hit.
6.05, Christy, very good morning to you, pal.
Severe thunderstorms about to rip through the Mid-North Coast. Well, it's already started, hasn't it?
I got woken up by a big clap of thunder, which was lucky because I slept through the alarm again.
I don't know how you managed to do this thing.
I told you
yesterday, I feel like you need to go and buy a proper alarm clock because for some reason your phone doesn't work.
No, because then I have to take something out of the power board and I don't want to have to do that. There's only a limited number of slots.
So priorities about the stuff at home versus your responsibilities here to get on to work at time?
Okay, so I don't take my PlayStation out. It's got its own. It's worked hard enough for me, so as a projector, to get themselves a... do you ever go in those car parks, the high-rise car parks, and you can't go in the first two levels of the car park?
Why?
Because they're reserved for people that have paid for it all year round.
Yeah,
right. That is my projector and my PlayStation. They get those slots.
Oh, they've paid for it year round.
No, they work that hard that they just get them. Even if they're not there on the day, they get them. If they're empty, you can't park in them. That's for them.
So then what's your solution to making sure that you get to work on time?
Luck. Luck.
Get up with Christy and Budge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
We're asking, what has your pet gotten into when they shouldn't have? Because something happened to my doggy when she shouldn't be actually tasting something. So we've got a few people actually that's called through this morning. It seems like it's the pet thing to do where doggies, cats or whatever it may be might get into something that they shouldn't have. So right. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good, yourself?
Oh, all right. Thank you. What's your doggy gotten into?
He loves beer.
Oh, does he?
Beer.
Well,
every time you put one down, he's got to knock it over and get into it.
Oh, he does on purpose. He goes, oh, no, I'll get that for you.
Does it on purpose. That's it. Loves it.
So it's like kind of a habit. Is he addicted to it?
No, he hasn't had one in 12 months because I give it away. But every time he started, I dropped one loading the cart into the fridge one day and it smashed and he looked straight into it. And ever since then, he's realised what it was. And if he sees you put one down, he's... knocks it straight over.
Wow, it sounds like it's the same as when you know when you tap their bowl and they come running. Is it like that?
Oh yeah, yep.
He knows.
No, he knows. As soon as I come home from work and go to the fridge or whatever, he's straight there waiting.
Any specific beer?
No, anything.
Oh right. He's so does he not have a preference?
No, anything.
Oh right. Okay. There you go. I mean, we've all got preferences. Mm. I'd go a Carlton Dry if I was still a dog. You know. I'd love it.
I usually got the same as what I used to drink, but I mean, it wouldn't matter with him.
Yeah, well, there you go. Wow, that's decent. A dog that likes beer. I mean, I don't think they're meant to have beer, but, you know,
no.
If they're knocking it over, there's not much you can do about it. You just take it away as quick as possible.
He's nearly 15 now. It hasn't killed him.
What's that in dog years? Like, how's that work out? Isn't it like 70 or 80 or something?
He's old. I think it's every 7 years for one human year or something like that, isn't it? But, yeah, he's old.
Yeah, geez, that is old. All right, Steve. Thanks for the chat, mate. That was great. Look, I reckon my dog used to do similar. My dad used to have VB cans on the windowsill outside when he used to mow the lawn.
Well, it's funny you say that because my pet bird used to lick the bottle caps off beer and same thing, would get drunk off the beer.
Must be a thing. We've got Jess on the line now. Jess, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your puppy dog gotten up to?
Oh, a goanna.
What?
What, you've got a
goanna?
You've got a goanna?
He dragged a live goanna inside.
Oh, jeez. A dog dragged a goanna? I thought you were saying you had a pet goanna.
No.
So hang on, how did that one down?
Well, he was barking, as he does, because he even barks at his own shadow. He's a silly dog. And, I went downstairs to check it all out, and he dragged a live goanna inside from the backyard.
Wow. What kind of dog have you got?
It's a Staffy.
Oh, well, that'd be why. I was wondering why it would have to be,
strong.
They don't fear much.
Oh, no, not much.
What? So when the goanna was dragged in, does that... Oh, jeez. How bad off was the dog afterwards?
Actually, he didn't have a scratch on him.
Oh, so lucky, because those things have really
very
deadly
lucky
claws on them.
Oh, yes.
That's
it was
mad.
Lucky it was only a small goanna too.
Oh, good. Because I'm going to say, what happened to your house?
Oh, well, yeah, it was a bit of a mess.
Jeepers.
So hang on, you know how he's dragged it in? Did the puppy get any of the flesh? Did it eat any of the goanna?
He got the tip of its tail, but that's about it.
How did you get it out of the house?
Well, I had to kind of like get the broom and shoo it towards the back door.
Oh, that's dangerous because they go for you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Oh, geez. All right. Well, thanks, Jess. Thanks for giving us that one. That one's one I've
Thank
not
you.
Heard before.
I know. And Lee in Cundabung has a naughty doggy or did have a naughty doggy.
Yeah, we did. So it was actually my parents' dog. So that we bred from when he was a puppy and we went to visit him and my parents have said he ate an entire possum. He actually caught it in the backyard and ate it.
What?
And didn't stop. He ate the lot, the whole thing. So, they don't know how he did it. They really don't. But he spent the next 3 days throwing up.
Would have.
And the next week just sulking on his bed because he was so sick because he ate the entire thing. Stupid bloody dog.
What kind of dog have you got or did you have?
Oh, he was a blue cattle cross Kelpie.
Oh, wow.
With a bit of Rottweiler thrown in.
And they're not that very big, so they don't have a big stomach to store a possum.
He was a pretty good sized dog, so he was sort of on the larger side.
Yeah.
But yeah, he used to just chase the birds and that around. But yeah, one night he caught a possum and he ate it. So
Jeepers.
I've never seen that dog so sick in all my life. Like we went to visit, and usually when we go to visit, he used to jump up and down and bark and carry on saying, you know, oh, you're here. And we got down one day and he was nowhere to be found, and we're going, what happened? And Mum and Dad said, yeah, he ate a possum.
He's lethargic. He's just in a food coma.
He was apparently, he was throwing up just everywhere, bits of possum for about 3 days.
Yeah, he just walked past him, he coughs up an eyeball. You're like, oh,
pretty much.
That.
Oh, there was fur and bones, and it was pretty bad.
I'm getting crook.
Oh, no.
I'm getting crook.
That's terrible, but thank you, Lee, for sharing that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, jeepers. Oh, she's gone. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to hang up.
It's all right.
Oh, my goodness. We got Diane on the line as well. Diane, good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, quite well. Now, what's your puppy got into?
We were renovating our kitchen at the time, so we had tables and desks and everything of the kitchen was out on our large covered back deck. And on one of those things, on one of those desks, there was a quite tall bookshelf that we had, food things and serving platters and all that sort of stuff on the very top of that bookshelf, we had a large tin of Milo, mostly so that the smaller kids couldn't get it when they came to visit. However, the dog somehow managed to, jump on the desk wasn't difficult, but then he climbed that bookshelf and got the tin of Milo, dropped it down. Obviously, when it dropped, it opened, and he ate the lot. So, again, another very sick dog and a very happy vet.
Wow.
So I remember it from the, what was that biscuit? The one that says chocolate isn't good for dogs, but you can have the rest of my milk. The one with the black chocolate with the cream in the middle. Oreos.
Oreo ad.
Okay. It's a famous ad where the little kid says that. So that's how I know chocolate isn't very good.
Well, chocolate is definitely not good. It seems to be the common thing where dogs are eating chocolate. Remy, who works here in the office, sent me some pictures of some devastation that the little Jimmy that we've met and the lab Bruno broke into his house a few years back, got into everything. They had stacks of chocolate on the bench and they ate it all. They unwrapped the Ferreros.
Good on them.
Chocolate can kill them.
I know.
Naughty puppuccinos.
And I thought mine was naughty. She just slurped up an energy drink.
What was it? Which one?
Red Bull.
She fly out of her pants.
Oh, she was running around like crazy. And here I was thinking, my dog was silly. But at least she didn't get into chocolate.
No.
The Mid-North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Budge.
On Hit FM.
Samsung lovers rejoice, for our family shall soon be larger. Coronavirus hits Apple as iPhone production halts in China was a headline I just read. Investors were told, Christy, on Monday that the outbreak is going a little longer than they expected and that it's hurting business and that Apple expects to be down in revenue this quarter, and it was enough to make them all cry if they could.
Here I am thinking, coronavirus had somehow tapped into our phones and hacked into it's wiped out all the people that work in the warehouse and all that work in the system with Apple iPhones.
I mean, it is a virus, but it's not that kind of, it's not computer virus. But yeah, I'm happy because I'll be getting some new brothers and sisters as soon as all you turncoats turn away from Apple. It'll happen. And I expect that you filthy iPhone users will abandon your high ground as well and your exclusive charger connections that can't be used for anything else. And you'll join us on the lower plane with us scumbags with our, you know, our USB Type-C connections that work for a multitude of different electronic products. You look amazed there, Christy. Mate, I can't wait for you and all the other Apple, you know, turncoats. I nearly said Apple turnovers. All the other Apple turncoats to come over to the dark side, to Samsung, where you can download music illegally and you don't have to pay. And maybe you do get a virus from time to time and your photo gets put in places it shouldn't do, but, you know, join us.
I'd rather not have a phone than join.
You can't say that. You need connectivity. Welcome to the family.
No.
You're one of us.
Not happening.
Get up with Christy and Bodge on the Mid-North Coast, Hit FM. Trending right now
at hits.com.au.
Now, Delta Goodrum, she has quite the number of stalkers out there, but one fan in particular, who would have to be her biggest fan, has pleaded guilty to 3 charges yesterday, including intimidation, using a carrier service to harass, and failing to move on.
Oh, that just sounds like he was standing in a spot calling her, and she felt intimidated.
Oh no, far worse than that. So in the lead up to Valentine's Day, she received over 300 love messages from him to her, revealing how much he loved her, saying, "I love you, Delta, my soulmate forever." He also brought her gifts to her apartment and sent her a message and said, "Come meet me down in the foyer so I can give you those gifts." He actually pleaded that he didn't understand that he was a nuisance. And he continued to say that there's nothing wrong with writing poems for someone and giving them a Valentine's gift, is there? It's better than a sleazy one-liner in a nightclub.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but it's that awkward situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Rocking up at your house with 100,000 million gifts and going, "I love you."
Yeah.
"You don't know me, but I love you."
Yeah. It's like, we could have a relationship. You can only dream. So whatever you do, if you've got a celebrity crush, don't push the point with gifts and love messages. Like mums that love Tom Hardy. Mums got around the fact that on BBC, the TV series for CBBS, you know, where stars read the bedtime stories to kids at night. Well, Tom Hardy, after he was on the show, mums totally got around it. He's been on the show twice but a company knows that that's going to actually get the mums really excited for their kids when Tom Hardy's reading them a book. So someone's launched a new service called Book Buddy, where you can hire a Tom Hardy lookalike to read your kid a story.
Oh, mums out there just thought that was a great idea. What's the number?
No, but you know what the weirdest thing is? He looks nothing like Tom Hardy.
Really?
Yeah, he's not as attractive. Sorry to say.
I don't see what the attractiveness is about Tom
Hardy.
You're
kidding me.
No.
There's some aura about him, and he's got that little goofiness about him.
No. I think he's a good actor, but I can't see what the attraction is, to be honest with you.
Sorry, pal. Gosh. Anyway, if I could, I'd hire the Book Buddy service so I could have him read me a bedtime story too.
Yeah. Oh, great.
A fresh way to get up.
Christy and Budge on Hit FM. Christy and Budge's Alpha Bucks.
On the line with us this morning, we've got Michelle from Laurieton. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
How are you doing? You doing all right?
Doing all right.
All righty. Your letter this morning is C for cat, and your time starts after this first question. Can you please name us a vegetable?
Carrot.
A board game.
Checkers.
A snack.
Cheese and crackers.
A shape.
Circle.
Birthday present.
Candles.
90s film.
Chicago.
Disney princess.
Cinderella.
A vehicle.
Camry.
A shoe brand.
Pass.
Oh, God.
You might have had that one.
Two left.
I thought you were going to get it, and you got all of the ones before right. Well done, Michelle. So a shoe brand, what have you got?
Crocs.
Yeah, and Converse. And the last question we would have had, herb or spice, what would have you said?
Chili.
I do have to say, though, I'm definitely 100% sure the film Chicago came out after the millennium.
Oh.
Let me Google it.
There you go.
Yep, 2002.
So close.
You were so close, Michelle. That $810 was almost yours.
Oh, my goodness.
Hit FM with Christy and Vodge.
A fresh way to get up. On your radio.
19th of February, special day today. I've got to say a big happy birthday to my dad.
Your dad's birthday is my sister's birthday as well.
How old is she?
30, so it's a big one.
Okay.
We've got a visitor at the door.
Someone's lingering. What's going on?
What have we got?
If you want to get your photo taken with Alira Lear, he's here.
Can you just bring
What's
him
going
in for
on?
One
Who's this?
Oh, Alira Lear from the Sydney Swans is here. So if you're an AFL fan, just heard he's in the building. I got to hide my Vegemite now. Oh my God.
Hello.
I'll take my headphones off.
He's live on the air at the moment.
I'm Christy. Hello. How are you? How tall are you?
What's going on?
I'm just going to go stand next to him because oh my gosh, I look like a
We're going to have to get a photo of that. Christy's only 5'1". What brings you to the Mid-North Coast?
We're just doing our community camps at the moment. So we got here probably yesterday around 1:30, and sort of a few of us went down to Kempsey, and just saw a few schools and did a few clinics there. So I think it's just that time of the year where we try to go out of the community and then spread the game and go hopefully give them some joy, especially the young fellas.
Yeah,
that's great that you're offering that.
Yeah, do you know what I love though is because I'm a South Australian here, so coming to this part of the country. All rugby league here, all rugby union. So I've been flying that flag for a long time.
You have done.
Even though I'm an Adelaide Crow, don't hold against me, right? But no, the girls are getting involved as well. They love their footy. They love getting a bit rough. But it is great to have a bit of presence up here from you guys because it makes you feel a little bit closer to all the action. It's great.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, like, as you said, like there was a lot more girls that was actually involved when went down to a few of the schools down there yesterday. So it's good. And I guess the women's competition is growing too. So hopefully.
We're trying to get Christy to go out there. But I reckon she could go forward pocket. I can see her crumming.
I'm way too little, I think. But it's funny because if I, growing up, had this offered to me when I was at school, I probably would have understood what AFL is because I'm a rugby person. I played touch footy. I watch it on TV, look at AFL and go, I don't get it. I don't get the rules. It's very different. But we never had anything like this that you're offering to our lovely community. So I wish that we could turn back the clock and do it. So I encourage all the girls out there, just give it a crack because you'll look back on life and go, I should have just done it.
We need to get a photo of you next to Alira Lear because this is, in fact, I'm going to get a photo first because I don't care so much about you.
Oh, he's a fan.
Get up with Christy and Vodge on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.
Christy and I have a guest on the line. It's full of guests this morning. Christy, who have we got on the phone with us this morning?
We've got Marcus from Crescent Head, who's all part of organising a fundraiser that's coming up at Crescent Head Country Club this Sunday at 2 o'clock. And he has some updates in terms of how Willawarrin, remember when we went out there when it was the bushfires that devastated poor little township? And now they're working to recover the place. There's a charity out there that's helping them build the farming fences and restore the place back to its former glory. And Marcus is part of that's helping to fundraise for this charity. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, Marcus?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing all right. Yeah. We're doing fine, mate. Tell us about your operation.
Oh, okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That's all right.
Well, we're fundraising for Blazeaid, so they're an organisation. They're a national organisation.
Yeah.
But they're working up at Willawarrin closely with the locals to fix their fences for the rural property. Up that way. So they've currently fixed 57 properties.
They're
marked complete. Yeah.
And how's
since November.
And how are they faring out there at Willawarrin at the moment?
Look, there was up to 240 houses lost up that way.
Yeah.
It goes right up through into the Karai. It was the Karai fire, it was devastating.
Yeah.
I think there's a long way to go. As far as I know, the Australian Defence Force are out there this week. They're helping out as well. They've had flooding and they lost a fire truck only last week. It went under in landslide and they're trying to excavate it out at the moment.
It's, right. It's not one thing, it's another, isn't it?
To think
3 months ago we went through the fires and it did ravage the township, but to know that they went through flooding and lost a fire truck, that's devastating.
Yeah.
But they've just marked 200 properties, so they've got 200 properties that are on their list to complete.
Yep.
They won't be leaving Willawarren until those properties are complete, so they're working closely alongside with farmers. So if farmers want to register, they can contact Blaze Aid.
Nice.
Natalie's up at Willawarren. She's heading the crew and she's doing a terrific job.
That's incredible, man.
So if we want to help fundraise, get along to the Crescent Head Country Club this Sunday. What's involved?
Okay, so Crescent Head Country Club on Sunday, we've got .edu. They're a local band made up of a couple of teachers and principal at the school. They're a really awesome band. They play a lot of really unreal sort of 90s music to 2000s, really fun. They've got so lots of games. We've got miles and miles of prizes to be given away. Barnett's Bakery have come along with vouchers. Vic's Chinese have come along with vouchers. Heading it is Blake Muir from BMD Electrical. He's going to be our MC for the day.
Yep, nice.
We've got live auctions for a few paintings, some photographs on canvas. Look, we've got the local cafes. Blackfish Cafe have thrown in some vouchers. We've got Peter McGregor. He's awesome. He's actually donated 2 nights at the Observatory. It's a really nice accommodation in Port Macquarie.
Nice.
There's heaps going on.
Yeah, Troppo Bob's donated some party stuff. Look, Bunnings have come along. They've donated some vouchers. So there should be so much for everyone, for young kids right up to adults, and some dress-ups and a lot of fun and laughter.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
There's lots going on. And just remind us one more time where we can get to have a part in all this.
Okay, so on Sunday, the Crescent Head Country Club hold their raffles from 1 p.m.
Yep.
So if you want to go to that, sure enough. But straight after the raffles at 2 o'clock, we've got our Blaze Aid organisation. So it's just a big day of fun and games and loud and live music.
Nice one.
Awesome. Thank you, Marcus. So get along at Crescent Head Country Club this Sunday at 2 o'clock to help fundraise for Blaze Aid.
And well done on all the work done so far, and best of luck with everything to come, mate.
Thanks, guys. Cheers, eh?
The Mid-North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Budge.
On Hit FM.
Time to play.
What did I say?
What did I say?
Oh, God. All right, who have we got on the line, Christy?
We've got Alicia in Kempsey. How are you this morning?
Hi, good, thank you. Yourself?
Lovely. And you're keen to win these Nitro Circus Live tickets?
That would be amazing.
Like, how much do you want to win them?
Really, really, really want to win them for my husband.
Oh, right. Well, if you don't get them, you can blame Bodge, because how this game's going to work is that he'll put the noise-cancelling headphones on and I've got 5 phrases for him to lip-read from my lips because he can't hear a word that I'm saying.
I'm not going to put the sound-cancelling headphones on.
Oh, he's changing it up. He's going to play some music. Yeah. Now, his track record with this, Alicia, is terrible, so I'm banking on the fact that he's going to lose. So, if you've got any final words to say to him?
Be kind. Don't worry about it. No, that's about it.
All righty, Alicia. Okay, so we're going to start this. Bodge, are you ready? Can you look over here, please?
We're doing it?
Yep, we're ready to do this. Okay, phrase number one. I need a haircut.
I need antennas.
No, completely wrong. All right. Phrase number two. I'm a maths fiend.
I'm a perfect fish.
No.
That was close, though,
no,
right?
Nowhere near it. All right. Phrase number three. Happy hump day.
Go again.
Happy hump day.
Happy hump day.
You got it.
Is that right?
You got it. Happy hump day. Oh, my gosh. No, keep playing. I just want to see if you get these last ones. Come on.
Okay, good. All right. It means I get to hear
you got the tickets anyway, Alicia, but all right. Phrase number four.
Perfect.
Okay, phrase number four. Nitro Circus is going to be mad fun.
Go again, one more time.
Oh, Nitro Circus is going to be mad fun.
I can't go anywhere without my butt flap.
No.
That's what I look like.
And this is one, the last one. I would have been thinking that you'd get this one right. Ready? Aaliyah.
You said the footy player's name that was in here before, Aaliyah.
Yes! So you had two shots there, Alicia, that he would have got it right. You got it. You got it, Bodge. You got it. You got it. Okay. You can hear me now. Yes. Congratulations, Alicia. You can now say to your husband, you're going to go see Nitro Circus live.
Oh, he will be stoked.
Good on you.
He will be stoked. Thank you.
How amazing am I? Tell me about how amazing I am.
You're very good. You cheated a little bit there, but ask him for it again.
Yeah.
Has there been a rule stipulated saying that you cannot
ask?
We
might have to bring that in.
Oh, well, then you don't get tickets then. No, I like it. No, that's a good rule. Let's keep it. I'll take those tickets.
No, definitely not. Thank you.
The Mid-North Coast Gets Up with Christy and Budge.
On Hit FM.
It's intimacy week as well.
A big week. Connie.
Good morning to you.
Hi, guys. How you going?
We're doing all right. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing well.
How did you feel after watching the episode last night?
When Grumpy Bum did her little storm.
It must be really hard watching him back after, it's been a few months since the filming, obviously, so.
I'm not going to lie, I was very nervous about last night's episode.
Yeah.
Because I do remember having my little storm off and I do remember getting upset. And I just remember that day so vividly. I remember waking up, slept on the couch that night, and I remember waking up in this, just in a horrible mood. And then another little fight kicks off between Johnny and I, and then that doesn't get resolved. And then going to do this activity, and I just remember I just was tired and hungry and grumpy, and I just I didn't want to be there. And I just remember just Johnny just, you know, I didn't take that dictatorship comment too well.
Well, yeah, this and, is true.
Yeah, and I just remember him just, you know, he was just having little sneaky stabs at me. And I just wasn't in the mood for a sneaky stab, and I just threw that canvas down and stormed off.
So for those that need a little bit of context here, maybe they're not Married at First Sight fans, what's happened is it's intimacy week for the newlyweds.
What's my major concern been so far in the relationship?
Intimacy or just with the body, being comfortable around each other with bodies or...
Your phone.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
Okay, so his phone's been an issue. Yep. There was something else that he said in there, though, where he kind of misunderstood. You could see in his eyes, he was like a deer in headlights almost. He's like, hang on, what is wrong? So he didn't really know that the phone thing was an issue, even though you'd said it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And, you know, that's why it was kind of disappointing that I felt like I had to bring it up at the commitment ceremony because, you know, the thing with the phones is I feel like it's something every couple can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, I didn't want to bring it up at the commitment ceremony, but the thing is, I had brought it up to him about three times prior to that, and he just wasn't getting it. And that's why I did feel the need to bring it up at the commitment ceremony, because I look back on it now and I think it's all, I just laugh at it. But at the time, though, I didn't think it was funny. Like, I really was concerned, and it was more so his obsession with social media, Instagram in particular, obsessed with it.
I like the guy. I like him. But I commented on something on his page, on his Instagram page, and within minutes he commented on something of my page. I'm like, didn't even follow me. Yeah. Didn't even follow me on Instagram. Yeah. Just commented and left it, and I was like, oh, well, where's me follow?
See, that's how much he sits on his phone.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a lot that went on. And before we unpackage it all, there was something else he said in that before he realised it was the phone related. And he was mentioning intimacy and being close and being comfortable with each other's bodies. What did he mean by that?
I'm trying to think back now. So I just remember even though so far we have been portrayed out to be I guess maybe a really strong couple. And you know what? We were a good couple.
Yeah.
They're, you know, we weren't super duper attracted to each other.
Oh, so there was no hanky panky going on.
Yeah, so there was no hanky panky going on at all. Like, so that, I think maybe that's where he was going with it because, I don't know. The thing with Jonathan, I don't know half the time what he means when he's talking. And. So I think that's where he was going with that one. So it yeah, it was a really strange one. I think that's where he was going with that, though.
Yeah. Well, he's not really the emotional guy. He says that, but you just said then that you didn't really have that strong connection. What was wrong with him? Attractive?
It's got to be the man bun.
Was there something wrong with him? You didn't like the look of him?
That's the thing. He's an absolutely beautiful human. Like, he's gorgeous. He's put together very well. But there was, I think, you know, because even at the wedding, you look back at the wedding, I was smitten. Like, I couldn't believe my luck. Like, you know, I remember running around telling everyone, like, look how good looking my husband is. It was when I started to kind of get to know him. And again, you know, like, you know, we had the honeymoon. It was a whole entire week.
Right.
Yeah. They showed the 6 minutes of it, or so it wasn't a lot. And you know, it didn't take me long to realize that him and I come from very, 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 very different worlds, and he has a lot of personality traits that I found a huge turn off.
Like what? Which ones in particular?
I think with me is Johnny, you know, he is a very playful guy, but he's also quite immature in a way as well. And I didn't quite understand his humour either. I didn't really like, I don't know how to say this without, you know, maybe without throwing him under the bus.
It's okay.
Because I don't want to feel like I'm talking badly about him. But just for example, just the way he would talk to waiters, things like that. I felt like he would talk down to some people. Yeah. I didn't really like it.
I'll do the hard work for you, and you just nod if I'm right, okay? So it sounds like he is a little bit short and sharp with people, and maybe doesn't give them the respect they deserve, in particular service people.
Yeah, that was one thing that was one thing about him that I did not like.
Wow. Well, that's a surprise. He doesn't come across like that.
No, he doesn't come across arrogant.
And he's very vain, and that's another thing as well. He's very vain. That's not necessarily a bad thing, you know. He's a very confident guy, he's very comfortable in his skin. He's a very good looking man, and he knows it and he owns it. But sometimes he did get that little bit vain, which again can be another bit of a turn off, like, you know. Wow. I don't know. I don't want to list off things. You know, I'm not perfect either.
You're a marine biologist student. You're attractive and funny and whatever else, and all you wanted him to do was put his phone down.
And just be emotional.
And that's all it was. Like, I just didn't... I feel like with Johnny as well, he comes from a world where I think where likes and followers can, you know, define your self-worth, where that's just not important. That kind of stuff just wasn't important to me. It didn't bother me. I didn't care about getting a big fat blue tick next to my name. I didn't care about any of that.
I want that tick so bad.
No.
I want to be a blue tick.
Well, you are very different people, aren't you?
That's what it was, and I couldn't understand it. That's all it was. And so I was finding it really hard to connect with him. Yep. I didn't understand why he was more so invested in Instagram than getting to know me and things like that. That's why I did get to the point where I was just like, you know what, phone's down. Let's get to know each other.
Mm. So, well, you did kind of put the foot down. You wore the pants there, because he does have a tendency to have those sly remarks at you and have a dig at you, particularly when he wanted to do his life-drawing activity, where he said to the nude artist that was standing there in front of them, "You guys seem understanding. I'm really looking for that in my wife."
Oh!
How was that remark for you?
Yeah, that was pretty, he's very passive-aggressive, Johnny. And again, another thing I couldn't, that, and he was like that since day dot. Again, another massive turn-off. It wasn't nice hearing that. Because I felt like it could have worked both ways. And it was those sly comments. There was more than one, and that's what kind of pushed me over the edge to have my little tantrum.
Well, see, when I saw you throw your papers and stuff down, I thought maybe you'd had a look-see at his little paper and seen that he'd drawn a pair of great big love spuds on the guy, and maybe done a pair of cartoon boobies or something, and wasn't taking it seriously. But what I think...
amazing.
if I can give you some criticism on how you exited, it could have been a lot hotter if you'd taken one of my favourite scenes into the back of your mind and emulated Anna Green Gables when she smashed her slate over Gilbert's head. Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Watch Anna Green Gables. You'd love it.
Smash it over the light drawing artist.
It's the hottest thing because he's teasing her and then she just smashes her slate because it's in the olden days, they write on it, smashes it over his head and, you know, it's because he called her carrots. So I think it would have been hot if he'd done that. Then you could have come around full circle a couple of years later and forgiven him. Just like in the movie.
That's amazing. Yeah, I probably should have. Hey, I wasn't like tempted to write something like really petty on my canvas, though. I was thinking about it, just like wanting to write, "Stop talking, Johnny. I hate my husband." Just having my little storm off, but I didn't. I tried to keep it cool.
But with the dinner party upcoming, and we know there's, oh God, we know all sorts of things we're not allowed to say, but we do know that it has been revealed that there's going to be some violence. And please tell me you two aren't involved in that.
There's violence, I wouldn't say. Drama, absolutely. It kicks off with a bit of drama. And then from my memory, I remember this. I was always that one that kind of stayed out of it a bit. And I was just always off in my own world and my own thing. But I just do remember it does kick off with a bit heated.
Yeah.
And then from what I remember, it cools down a little bit. And I think tonight there's a joke is cracked that doesn't go down very well with some people.
It sounds like Yvonne all over, to be honest. What we're going to do to round this off, though, Connie, is we're just going to list a couple of names and we're going to ask you whether you're team this person or team that person, and we just want to hear what you say, okay?
Yep.
Team Yvonne or Team Alex?
Team Yvonne.
Team Amanda or Team Tash?
I can't. I sit on the fence with those two.
I've softened quite a lot to Amanda.
Nah.
Because I think Tash, Chrissy and I are totally opposite on this, because I think that Tash has not really given it a chance and she's been too prissy and she's just...
And boring. I know she has, but nah.
Poppy or Luke?
Are you trying to...
I have to.
Is this a trick one?
No, it's not. It's not a trick one.
I know what's happened. I know what's going on at the moment in the media. But you know what? Within my experience of knowing them in the experiment, I'm Team Luke.
Really? So, because obviously Poppy put that thing up on her Facebook yesterday. Yeah. And obviously there's more to come out. But if you know what's going on, clearly Luke is still the good guy that everyone thinks he is, which is good.
He's a good guy.
Okay. We don't want to put you under that pressure. It's meant to be as simple...
It's a really touchy subject.
We might leave it there. Yeah. But
thank you so much, guys. It's always been a pleasure.
If you want more of Christy and Budge, catch up on the podcast at hit.com.au or hear them live weekday mornings from 6 on the Mid-North Coast's Hit FM.